Well, over the last few months, I think, this passage has been coming to me in my thoughts, and there's an opportunity to preach on this morning because of the way the schedule works. So we read in verse 42, the Lord Jesus Christ saying this, "One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." I don't know if you know this passage, but in this account, we have two Christians. They happen to be sisters. Both love the Lord greatly, and both want to serve Him and follow Him. And both are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ as well. If you look at John chapter 11, this is the account of when Lazarus is brought back from the dead. Mary and Martha are mentioned in that passage, and Jesus, it says, loved them greatly. So they love Jesus and are loved greatly by Him. But nevertheless, only one of these ladies is on this occasion commended by Jesus, whereas one is gently challenged. It is Mary on this occasion who is commended by Jesus, but it is Martha who is tenderly challenged by Him. Look what Jesus says in verse 41. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." So Mary here, Martha here, though greatly loved by Jesus, that is absolutely clear, is gently challenged by Him. And Mary is commended. Why is Mary commended? Was it because service was wrong? Well, no. Mary was commended on this occasion because she saw the importance of hearing the teaching of Jesus at that time. Mary did everything in her power to ensure that whatever happened, she would grasp this opportunity to hear Jesus' teaching and to hear His words. And I want to say that's a very important lesson for us to learn. Because on another day, this account could have been about any other two Christians. It's not about men and women. It's not about Mary and Martha, although it is. It's about any two Christians. Because on any given day, we could either be like Mary or we could be like Martha. And so I want us to look at this passage and think about it. Because we, I think, are more prone to be like Martha, busy doing things, busy doing good things for the Lord. But we may miss the opportunity to learn from Jesus when that opportunity comes. And so I want us to look at this passage. We'll look at Martha's attitude first, then Mary's attitude, and then we'll look at some further application. So first of all, Martha's attitude. And what I want to say at the very beginning, and this is clear from the passage, is that there were many things that Martha did which were commendable. Think about that. This is what the passage teaches us. First of all, we see that it was Martha who welcomed Jesus into her home. We see that in verse 38. Martha welcomed Him into her house. Now, we might think that's a small thing, but it's not. To invite Jesus into your home is a thing, depending on what time of Jesus' ministry, was either an unpopular thing to do, or it could even be a dangerous thing to do. As you read the Gospels, you realize that though many people heard Jesus gladly, there were those who hated Jesus. And those who hated His followers. And so to invite Jesus into your home was something that was very commendable. At the beginning of this chapter, Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent out his disciples saying, "I am sending you out as lambs among wolves." That's the kind of environment that followers of Jesus were to expect. And so Mary inviting Jesus into her house was something to be commended. She was not afraid to be associated with Jesus. And this is to be commended. And so is her service. Because it is very clear from this passage that Martha was a real servant. She served others. And she was prepared to be the only one serving. She tells us herself in verse 40, and we'll come to that in a moment, that she had been left to serve alone. You know, we're building up a picture here of Martha as someone who was a real servant-hearted lady. And she was prepared to be the only one doing what was necessary at times, selflessly serving others. And we have to say that's commendable, isn't it? But we're taught in this passage that she is at fault. Even though she was a great host, even though she had this servant heart, she was at fault here. And I want to say she was at fault for three reasons. First of all, she was at fault because she went over the top in her hosting. Hosting Jesus was good. I've just said that. Service was good. It's commendable. But it's clear that she went over the top in her hosting. Because in verse 40 we read that she was involved in much service. She was involved in much serving. And the original Greek includes that word much or many. It's significant that it was there. And it tells us that Martha had gone over the top in her service. And perhaps as I'm telling you this, you might think, well, surely you can't go over the top when Jesus is involved. Surely you would give everything in your service to Jesus. Nothing would be enough for him. But it appears in this case that it was a fault of Martha. Because this is what Jesus goes on to, and we'll see in a moment, to criticize, as it were. Doing too much on this occasion was a problem for Jesus. The Lord Jesus would actually have been happy with very little. He was used to not having a lot. You know, if you know a little bit about Jesus' life, you will know that he was born in poverty and lived in poverty and died in poverty. We know that Jesus had been born into poverty because at the beginning of Luke's gospel, we see that when Joseph and Mary, his parents, were to offer him up to the Lord and the sacrifice along with it, all they could offer was two turtle doves, which is for the very poor in the community. Near the end of his life, Jesus would say in the previous chapter of Luke chapter 9, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." When Jesus had died, he was what? Given a tomb that someone else had to buy for him. Jesus was poor from the beginning of his life all the way through his life and died a poor man. The Lord Jesus Christ was well used to having very little. And it's astounding to think about that, isn't it? That the eternal Son of God, with all the riches and glory that he laid aside. We read in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, "Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich." And what is happening here is that the Lord Jesus would have been happy with what Martha could have given, but she went over the top. She had gone over the top in her service. And we know that she went over the top because she had become distracted in these things. This was the second fault. Martha in her much service, had become distracted from Jesus. Look at verse 40. Martha was distracted with much service. Martha had served. She had served a lot, but she had become distracted because of her serving. And the word used for distracted here means to be overoccupied, to be too busy. Listen to this one, to be driven about mentally. This is what had happened to Martha. She had become overoccupied in her service. Good though it was, she was too busy for Jesus. And she had become driven about mentally. And because of this, she had missed the opportunity to hear what Jesus had to say. Because of her busyness, she had been distracted from Jesus and his teaching. This is the second fault of Martha on this occasion. Her third fault was pride. Did you notice that, I wonder, as you read through that? There's a sense that she's brimming with pride here, or bristling with pride. Look at the end of verse 40. We read that Martha approached Jesus and told him, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Can you imagine that? Jesus is teaching here and she bursts in and says, "Jesus, stop what you're teaching and tell Martha to do what I'm doing." Martha was convinced that she was doing the right things while others were not. Martha believed that only she was in the right while others were in the wrong. And so she asked Jesus, perhaps interrupting his teaching, to tell Mary to do what she was doing, because she believed that that was the right thing that everyone else should be doing. And this shows us that she was puffed up with pride, doing much good. And that is to be commended, but she's puffed up with pride here, to the extent that she expects Jesus to agree with her. Expects Jesus to agree with her. And that's pride. Martha thought of herself very highly at this occasion and thought that others were simply slacking. So Mary's third fault was pride. But listen to what the Lord Jesus has to say to Martha. Look at verse 41, or hear what it says. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Jesus here, in his love for her, is gently correcting Martha. Look at how Jesus says her name twice. "Martha, Martha." Now, when I first read that, I thought it was maybe that Martha's running all over the place and Jesus is trying to get her attention. "Martha, Martha." But I was helped to see that actually it's Jesus here tenderly challenging her. There are occasions where Jesus uses the name of someone twice. On several occasions, if you look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, you see that Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan has wanted to sift you, but I've prayed for you." And it's not a harsh rebuke here. It's said out of tenderness and love for Mary. Remember, she's greatly loved. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." You are worried. It's the same word worry that Jesus uses in the Sermon on the Mount. "Which of you by worrying can add a single cubit to his stature?" You're worried, Martha. You shouldn't be. And you're troubled. This is the only time this word is used in the Bible. And it touches on the idea of being turbulent, turbulent in your mind. In other words, all kinds of things are going on in your mind. And Martha here is troubled wrongly. She shouldn't have been. And Jesus is saying, you're troubled and you shouldn't be. One thing is needed at this time, and Mary has chosen the right path. What you're doing is commendable, Martha, on most occasions. But on this occasion, Mary has got it right and you've got it wrong. So the question, a number of questions might be going on in our mind, and we might ask ourselves, why was Mary commended and Martha challenged? Was it wrong to host Jesus and to serve him? Well, of course not. But on this occasion, it was more important to listen to the teaching of Jesus. And that's why Mary was seen to be doing the important thing. And we begin to think about Mary's attitude secondly and more briefly. We read that Mary sat at Jesus' feet in verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. When Martha was bustling around in her busyness, Mary was instead sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. For Mary, that was the most important thing to do at that time. And that's why she sat so near to Jesus. It says in our Bibles, in the English, that Mary sat at Jesus' feet. But the original is stronger. It says that Mary sat right beside Jesus' feet. And you might say, well, that's a small detail, but it's important because she wanted to get so close to Jesus to learn as much as she could from him and to grasp the opportunity in order to grow in her relationship with him, that she sat as near to him as possible. And this wasn't some sort of custom that she sat, or that she was being courteous or something like that. No, this is deliberate. She wanted to sit at Jesus' feet and to hear his word. That's why she sat near his feet. This is what they did. They sat at the teacher's feet and learned from them. And she knew that this was the most important thing to do at that moment. It was necessary for her to do that. It was essential for her to do that. And so she gave her utmost attention to Jesus. She sat as close as she could to him in her eagerness. Nothing was going to get in the way of her being able to hear what Jesus had to say. She was totally absorbed. Unlike Martha, she didn't interrupt Jesus as he was teaching to make a point about her sister. She wanted to listen to what Jesus had to say, and she was determined to grasp the opportunity when it came. Now, I don't know if Martha knew that Jesus' time on this earth was limited. I don't know that. But she was determined that while he was here, she was going to take every opportunity to take it. Mary here is pictured as one craving every word from the mouth of God. What we have here is Mary epitomizing what it means not to live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Mary was giving Jesus an undivided heart. Not a heart that was flitting here and there, but a heart that was resolutely focused on Jesus. She was saying with the psalmist in Psalm 86, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Unite my heart to fear your name. Teach me your way." And in this very short passage, she has demonstrated the spirit of the psalmist who said that the word of God was sweeter than honey. Mary at this moment in time was demonstrating a one thing I do attitude. In the call to worship I read from Psalm 27, where the psalmist says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Mary at that point in time was beholding the beauty of the Lord. Nothing was going to get in her way, and that's why she was commended. So we have in this account the account of two Christians, two committed, zealous Christians, but only one is commended. And as we turn to further application, I want us to take note of this important lesson. But I also want us to avoid certain traps that can arise from this passage. The first trap is to think, because we have read this passage now, that we are to avoid anything remotely Martha-like, and instead think that Mary was showing us the way to live for every single minute of our day. That's not what the passage is teaching us. It's not teaching us that we are to always be at the feet of Jesus every minute of the day and doing nothing else. I'm sure you know that anyway. That would be a wrong application of this passage. Because we are to sit at Jesus' feet, in other words, to hear his teaching, but we're also called to various callings in this life. There are those that misinterpret this passage or use it for their own purposes to say that we are to live a contemplative life. And what they mean by that is that we are to withdraw from the hustle and bustle of life. We are to withdraw from the sinfulness of society. And we are to live this contemplative life, just like Mary. And what these people do is they join a monastery or a nunnery to get away from the hustle and bustle of life or the sinfulness of society. And it's with this goal of a contemplative life. Now, I don't think that many of us would want to join a monastery or nunnery. But we could be tempted to view the various callings that we are called to, legitimate callings that we are called to, as having little or no importance. That is a danger for us. And the way this would work out in life would be, for instance, I'll use an extreme example, to devote ourselves to long Bible studies at home or something like that at the expense of the other things that we are called to in life. If we took this approach, then our lives are going to be warped and chaotic, probably. And that's one trap that we are to avoid in applying this passage to ourselves. We're not to be like Mary, that every single minute of the day, and Martha is thrown out the window in her much service. Because we are called to service, and I'm sure you know that. Our life as Christians is a life of service, whether it's service to God ultimately, or service to one another. We are to be, as it says in the Bible, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15. We are called to a life of piety, but we're also called to various callings. And it would be wrong to discount everything that Martha did. Martha has to be commended for her service. But she just went too far. That was the problem. That became the be-all and end-all. And she missed that opportunity to hear the teaching of Jesus. And I want to say, Martha was no spiritual simpleton. If you read John chapter 11, it wasn't the case that she was one of these doers and all about doing. And she wasn't theological in that sense. If you read John chapter 11 and her interaction with Jesus in around the death of Lazarus, you will know that she was a godly, godly woman. She was a theologian. It's just, maybe on this one occasion, we don't know for a fact, but maybe just on this one occasion she had gone too far. And she had missed the opportunity to learn from Jesus. And as I close, I want us to learn this lesson. Because I think most of us are probably more prone to be like Martha than Mary. Because God has planted a desire in us to always be abounding in the work of the Lord, hasn't He? But sometimes we have too many cares in our lives. Sometimes we bring cares into our lives that we have, you know, we've brought them in ourselves. I'm not talking about cares that are forced upon us, as it were, in God's providence, but we bring too many cares into our lives and make it harder for ourselves to grasp the opportunity to learn from Jesus. Whether that's in our own personal devotions, as we read and sing and pray in our homes, or at church, where we hear Jesus is teaching from the Bible here. Things can get in the way, even good and important things. I'm sure you'll know that. I'm speaking to myself now. You can be involved in many, many good things, but you miss the most important thing of sitting at the feet of Jesus. We don't do that now. Jesus has gone to be in heaven. This is what it means to sit at the feet of Jesus, hearing His word through the Bible, reading it in our personal devotion. Don't let the good things, even the very good things, get in the way of hearing Jesus and His teaching. So maybe be more like Mary in this regard, who sat as near as she could to Jesus to ensure that she got the most of His teaching. May we not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen.